sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, July 3rd. Today's like a throwback Thursday, right, on Facebook?
Yes.
I don't know who invented it, but it's kind of weird.
It's kind of like weird. Like on Instagram and Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I even saw a tweet yesterday. So there's different ones. There's like Man Crush Monday, Woman Crush Wednesday.
Oh, really?
And somebody tweeted yesterday. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. She was like, well, I'm not anyone's Woman Crush Wednesday, so I guess I'm just going to be my own.
Right.
And then it was like, sigh, like depressed or whatever. And I'm like, what? Like, what? Firstly, what is Woman Crush Wednesday? Who cares?
Right.
It's just something stupid for a hashtag. I was just like, this is ridiculous. But like every single day has one.
Yeah.
Man Crush Monday, Transformational Tuesday.
Wow.
Woman
and
Crush Wednesday.
Twitter? Those are on Twitter, right?
It's an Instagram. And I've seen people do it on Facebook, too.
Really?
And then it's Throwback Thursday, Flashback Friday.
Yeah.
I've seen Selfie Sunday. Every day of the week is assigned to something on social media.
Yeah, that's true, huh? I don't know. But, when it was my kid's birthday and Father's Day, I dug up some pictures and stuff. And it was actually fun going through the old photo albums. So I think maybe I'll do a few more of those, you know, and find them because it's fascinating to share it, you know.
Yeah, throwback photos are always good to look at.
Yeah,
I love really looking back through, and even on Facebook, the albums when I first got Facebook that I looked through.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, it's cool to look at.
Yeah.
And on my old computer, I have loads of photos, but that barely turns on anymore. But I won't get rid of it because I don't want to get rid of those photos that are on.
Well, you know what you better do is back it up so you can.
I know.
Because
so
one day the computer will stop working.
I know.
Yeah, get a little flash drive, copy everything. Because if those photos are precious to you, don't keep them just in one place.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
And I try at first, when I first got my new computer, I was doing CDs and burning them on CDs. And
right.
I was like, this is crazy because I'm using so many CDs and they're not that cheap.
Right.
It's like $20 for 10 or something ridiculous. So then I just thought, this is insane. I'm just using way too many CDs and it was so tedious.
Right, exactly. Who uses CDs anymore, you know? I mean, the new computers don't even have a CD drive anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the MacBook Air and, you know, my computer is pretty thin too, so it doesn't have one. Yeah, nobody really uses them anymore.
Yeah.
I remember when they were like the future CD-ROM.
Right.
And that was like, you know, when we had like floppy disks and stuff and people said, wow, this can hold so much more.
Uh-huh.
And,
I know,
you
it's
know,
crazy.
That
I remember
was a long
floppy
time
disks
ago.
Too. I'd have to take them to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And then CD-ROM came along and then DVD-ROM came along and then, you know, you could put so much stuff on there. And yeah, so I mean, because computing has progressed so much that, you know, all our files are like huge now. It's amazing. You know, like if you take like 1 hour of video, that's like high definition, that's 1 gigabyte. I remember it was maybe, 30 years ago or so. No, 25 years ago when I started my business, my computer animation business.
Right.
So again, 25 years ago, I needed a lot of space back then and computers didn't really have a lot. So I had to buy a 1 gig drive, paid $3,000 for it.
Wow.
$3,000 for 1 gig. Back then it could hold a lot, but today it can only hold 1 hour of video.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
so
insane.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's just like it's crazy how our files have grown so much, but we expect such high quality. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
really
like sometimes I don't believe the quality of the video I stream on the other station. It's like it comes in so clear. It's like crisp and clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like going, wow, you know, I mean, this is like 30.
You feel like you're there.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, you got to remember, I mean, what happens here is this is 30 frames per second. That's how fast it mm-hmm. has to go to look smooth. And so, and this is 30 frames a second that you have to transfer and to get over your phone too. You know, uh-huh. I mean, when you play it over the phone, that's like, you know, 3G, 4G, whatever. And you'd think it'd be pretty slow, but I mean,
but
to, yeah, you know, so it's incredible, incredible to me, the progress we've made.
Yeah,
with
sure.
computers. I remember when video just started on the internet, it was garbage. I mean, still, you know, on YouTube, most of the quality sucks.
Isn't
you know?
Great. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Right. But that's how people film it. I don't know what's... Because it's... I guess YouTube is more like, you know, for amateur stuff.
Exactly. And that's coming more back in style, the kind of the handheld behind the
right.
scenes, like just with your iPhone. I've seen so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the big camera crew making it look so extravagant, people
right.
want to see the authentic idea of you just being there.
Right.
And being with your phone and not having this whole camera crew and makeup crew making it
right.
picture perfect. They just want to see what's happening.
Right. That's true, yeah. And these are like spontaneous videos that get uploaded.
Yeah.
And
some of them kick off.
Yeah. I know. I know. It's amazing how they take off sometimes.
I saw there was something on Facebook, a girl I know. There was like this, it's a slap video. I don't really understand it. I haven't watched it. But she posted her cover photo. It's like, we got 4 million views. Have you seen it yet? I was like, you got 4 million views? And it's something to do with being slapped. I don't know if people are. I don't know. I don't know what the video really is. Like I said, I haven't watched it. But 4 million views.
Wow.
It's insane.
And it's her video?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in it. It's
oh,
her and her friends.
But she's the one that uploaded it or something?
I think she's just in it.
Yeah,
so
okay.
she's kind of trying to market.
Wow.
But
why would so many people watch that? What
I
was
don't
it about?
Know.
You don't know.
No, but,
like slapping.
But
okay,
there's
that's,
so many crazy makes... videos that people watch.
Right.
I mean, the angry ginger.
Right.
That comes to mind because now he has his own reality TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then he just got a record deal with Ray J. But he got founded off YouTube for being the angry ginger. He would just go on there, post videos of him ranting.
Wow.
And then Justin Bieber got found on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's all these random videos that just get found and get so many likes.
Right.
There's ones of wedding proposals. And, and they get so many likes because it just goes viral. And then news outlets pick it up. And that's it.
I know. Some people have been posting like gruesome Facebook videos. Like one was of a car accident, and it actually showed on the scene. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, and it shows all the bodies and the blood and
oh,
everything.
No.
You know, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Or then they'll show you like some Islamic videos of them, you know, beating up people and shooting them and stuff. And it's like, I don't want to see this, but you know what? It's like a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch it.
Right.
You
got to
see what's there.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's like the cruelty that people have. And all these Islamists that all they want to do is kill people, man. That's what they live for.
Yeah.
You know. And I remember, I think last year it was, or 2 years ago, when there was some clashes with Hamas and stuff. And they killed some Israelis. And they said, as much as you guys love life, we love death.
Oh,
yeah, that's what they said.
That's
so
frightening.
Yeah, so how do you make peace with someone like that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want peace.
No.
They don't know what it means. So, yeah, so that's why there's no solution for that area, you know?
Not
and
at
it
all.
Just it just deteriorates into revenge and back and forth one
it's
side.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
But, you know, until they renounce their declaration that Israel does not have the right to exist and the resolution to annihilate it is there's no way you can make peace with people like that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that's that. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, and she's going to tell us about making it in the biz, i.e. the entertainment business. And this is always relevant, I think, especially, you know, we get so many people in here telling the same story of moving
right.
to L.A. to make it, and some of them do not. We'll find out how long you should stay here. And
her website's making me hungry.
Yeah? Why? Is there food there?
It's all food photos.
Really?
Yeah, it's really making me hungry.
Oh, wow. Is that, that Mod City Mom?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I'll have to bring it up also.
Yeah.
But it sounds pretty interesting. So we'll see what's going on there.
Definitely.
You know what we're gonna have? Who we're gonna have on Monday? Is I'm sure you're gonna like this one. But these people, I think, are from Florida, and they're visiting LA, and they started a website for fit swingers. Okay, so swingers are people that, like, you know, go into to sex parties and stuff and swap partners. Right. And so this is for fit people.
Fit meaning in good fit, shape?
Yeah, like in good shape, oh. I think, yeah. As opposed to, because I...
As opposed to not being in shape.
Yeah, because I think in a lot of swingers parties, the people are just not very attractive, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so maybe this is like a remedy to that.
Huh,
so
interesting.
Yeah, I know. So that would be interesting. I'd like to find out about people that do that, because it seems to me like so enigmatic that people can swap partners and still be okay with it, you know.
Yeah.
But many people do, and they're okay. So we have to hear, like, the state of mind, where they are.
Right.
You know. But a lot of people are not judgmental, you know. Many people, I think, are exhibitionists and mm-hmm. things like that, you know. So
definitely.
All the kinks that people have.
Yeah, each to their own.
I know.
It's not something that I'll try, but
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, let other
not
people
one
try.
To judge.
So, so this is cool. Now, you were telling me about the stuff, you showed me pictures of the stuff you made.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about that?
Yeah, I made some good snacks for this weekend.
For the 4th of July.
Yeah, and they're just super easy snacks, and then, because I don't want to be eating, like, a ton of crap the whole weekend.
That's
and, like,
true,
feel
yeah.
gross, like, because we'll be having drinks, too, so it's, like, eating... Yeah. burgers and like the whole weekend I'm just gonna feel like a big pig. But I got this one from Maria Menounos's new book, Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. It's cucumber cups with hummus and then just a little bit of pepper on top.
Wow.
And you just like scrape a little bit of cucumber out, you like cut it up into chunks, put some hummus in, and add a little pepper on top. It's super easy, and they're really good.
Really?
Hummus is good with everything.
Yeah, really. I guess it is.
You know,
yeah.
I love hummus.
Right.
But it tastes really, really good. It doesn't taste like it's, just one of those healthy snacks.
Yeah.
And then the other one is you cut a slice of banana up. You take two slices, put peanut butter in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Put it in the freezer for about an hour. And then you melt chocolate around it,
mm-hmm.
put in the freezer back for 15 more minutes, and then keep them in the freezer. But after that, you can eat it. And they taste like popsicles, like ice cream.
Really?
They taste so good. And yeah, it's got chocolate on it and peanut butter, but it's not that bad for you.
Yeah.
Compared with ice cream or these. And
right.
these are way more refreshing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's
really
cool.
refreshing. So you can, on my Facebook page, I put all the recipes, but... But yeah, they're just good, easy snacks. And they take, I mean, the banana ones, yeah, they have to be in the freezer for an hour, but they don't take long to do.
Yeah.
Super
Sounds
easy,
like fun.
Super simple, yeah.
Yeah.
Easy.
I know frozen bananas are pretty good, huh?
Really good. And especially with, I love dark chocolate, so I put dark chocolate around it and adding peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Okay.
So good. And the little bit of chocolate and peanut butter goes a long way.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like it's... I'm just eating fruit.
Yeah.
So I if I'm going to eat something, I want it to taste good, and I would rather eat chocolate than a banana.
Right.
But this is, it's not that bad for you, and it's really good.
Wow.
And especially when it's hot.
Yeah.
And they're frozen, and
sounds
yeah, really good.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should start dabbling in stuff like that, you know? I never get close to the kitchen, only to the refrigerator.
Do you buy ready meals, or?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, and then I eat sandwiches, I get all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
The guest is calling, so we'll take that and then we'll continue later. Good morning, you're on the air. Is this Sarah?
Yeah, hi Sam.
Good morning, Sarah, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're doing great. Charlotte's here with me. And
oh, hi Charlotte.
Hi.
So, where are you calling us from this morning, Sarah?
I am calling you from St. Louis.
Oh, St.
Nice.
Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Is that where you grew up?
No, I actually grew up in Detroit, Detroit area. I moved to Chicago for about 17 years.
Uh-huh.
Had a little stint in L.A. for two in the middle of that and moved to St. Louis a couple years ago.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so you were in L.A. already and now you moved out, moved away.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Moved back to the Midwest.
Right. Yeah, a Midwest kind of girl. So now you're going to tell us a little bit about making it in the business and what it takes and so forth. But it begs the question, how come you're gone?
Gosh, you know, it's been a crazy journey. I spent pretty much my entire life in the theater since I was a kid. Uh-huh. And, of course, moved to Chicago to kind of pursue that dream after I went to college. And also moved to L.A., you know, when I was about 25. I got really burned out in my early 30s about 10 years ago. I just kind of decided after I had my son to take a break for a while, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
I miss it. I miss it a lot,
yeah.
Actually.
That's true, yeah. I can imagine, you know, I mean, especially yeah. our weather and stuff. Yeah.
I know when I look at my iPhone and I have LA on it and it's sunny, 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 yeah. and like 75. Yeah, I miss that very much.
So you cool. miss being performing and the lifestyle of kind of being in the entertainment industry?
I really do. You know, I think when that's in your bones, it's hard to shake. I think eventually, now I have two little boys, I think when they're a little older, I'd like to go back and teach because I really, I have a passion for the theater and the business in general. I mean, I think it really can give you a lot of confidence and, you know, especially help younger people, you know, with their motor skills and their physicality and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Sarah, I don't want to butcher your last name. How do you say it?
It's Romine.
Romine. Okay, Sarah mm-hmm. Romine. That's one way I wasn't going to say it, so I'm glad that I asked you.
Everyone always says Romaine.
Right,
so,
Romaine.
I've gotten that my whole life.
I see. Okay. I know. I have a problem last name, too. So you were in the Midwest, and you decided I'm going to try and make it in L.A., and mm-hmm. you were in your 20s, you said.
I was, yep.
Yeah, that's usually a good age to do that. That's when most people do that, trying to build up their career and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's hard to make money in the theater in Chicago, even though there's a huge theater community there. Uh-huh. And I had some friends that had made the move and were, you know, pretty consistently getting, you know, even some commercial work and whatnot, and at least making a living doing it. And I kind of thought, you know, at 25, like, you know, it's now or never, you know, this is when I need to go. You know, I'm doe-eyed, I'm young, I have to go now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What made you not move right after college and kind of go to Chicago first?
You know, I had a ton of friends there. It's an easy move from Detroit. And my sister lived there as well. So it was an easier move for me. And I really, at that time, I really wanted to do theater, and I'm not a musical theater person, which is why I decided to not move to New York, because obviously that's the big, you know, the big thing there. I think it was an easy move for me.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Now, so let's talk a little bit about your book. You came out with a new book called Ghost Light, mm-hmm. and tell us a little bit about the book. What is it about?
Well, the book is, you know, like I said, when I quit the theater right after I had a baby, and, you know, I had also quit my day job, and I was home and without my art and without a career, and it was very depressing. And, you know, I started thinking, like, gosh, I lived this really wonderful, crazy life, you know, in L.A. for 2 years and in Chicago, and some of those stories are really terrific. But, you know, I'm not famous, so a tell-all tale of, you know, about a stranger probably wouldn't sell.
Right.
And so I started writing down these stories, and it turned into this, you know, fictional novel, Ghostlight, loosely based on some of my experiences and some of the people that I met, you know, throughout the years. So that's kind of how that all got started. And it's, you know, it's a, it is about a girl who grows up in a small town and finds herself in LA. And, you know, it's not a glamorous story per se, but it's a, I think it's a really touching one. There's a little bit of romance, a little bit of mystery, and she's a very funny narrator. So it's a, she's a good protagonist to follow.
That's cool. Yeah. Had you written before?
You know, I did some corporate writing previously. I worked in corporate communications, and so I wrote a lot of letters and things for the marketing department at the Wrigley Company in Chicago, and I did that for about 5 years. So,
okay. But
and
not
I also have a blog with my sister where we write about, you know, food and style and adventure.
Oh, cool.
So
tell
I've
us
been
about
doing
that
for about 6 years.
Tell us about the blog a little bit.
You know, it's a, it kind of came around the same time as I wrote the books. My sister and I have just a huge passion for food and fashion and finding interesting art. And, we both love to travel. So we just started taking pictures and writing about it. And it's been really, really fun. It's called modcitymom.com.
I was just looking at it before,
Oh, you did?
Before you called in, and I said, it's making me hungry.
Yeah, I mean, look at
the
all
photos
this stuff.
Look so good.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really, really fun. It's in, you know, recently we've kind of been upping our, you know, people who are following us, which has been really nice to be able to share it with other people than just our friends and family, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it does make sense.
What tips do you have for people for food this weekend? Because it's a holiday weekend, and there's probably going to be a lot of people putting up for people.
Yeah. You mean for 4th of July food?
Yeah.
You know, we are cooking ribs here low and slow for about 6 hours and smoking them and mopping them. And that recipe is actually, with the homemade barbecue sauce I make, that's actually on our website. So, yeah.
Sounds
great.
Good.
Yeah.
I can totally hear the Midwestern accent.
Definitely.
Can you? Yeah. it's so cute. Yeah.
So funny, Sam, because when I moved to LA, I didn't notice I had an accent.
Right.
And everyone would come up to me and be like, "You're not from here, are you? You're not from here." I'm like, "What's wrong with my voice? You know, why does everyone think I talk funny?" And they really picked up on that nasal, thing that I have. So,
yeah, no,
super funny.
It's great. It's just that I've met a lot of people from the Midwest, so I kind of like pick it up and stuff. But I think also in LA, since we have so many accents here, we're sort of like trained to pick them up, you know, and go, wait a minute, this one sounds a little different.
And, no, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Now, did you know that also Californians have, like Southern Californians have a certain accent too? And we don't notice that, but the guy that is teaching me that accent reduction, he was telling me about this, and he says you don't want to learn that accent, you know. It's like the Valley Girl type of accent.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's, you don't, when you're living in it, you know, whatever environment you are, whether you live in Boston or Chicago or LA,
right.
I don't think you realize that you sound differently than people in other, you know, regions of the United States, because it is subtle, you know. I mean, I don't think
it's very subtle.
Yeah.
Very cool. So the book is Ghostlight, and we're talking to Sarah Romijn, and the blog is at modcitymom.com. And so you write that with your sister. Is she older, younger than you?
She's older than me, and she lives in Southern California.
Oh, so, okay, cool.
Yeah, we both used to live in Chicago, and now I'm in St. Louis, and she's She's out there.
Oh, wow. Did she move here when you did? Or
no, gosh, she moved there about 5 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, and she's not an actor. She actually does editing, corporate editing and HR for a living. So.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Wow.
So going back to the book, what are some of the stories that you that kind of loosely are about you in the book? Like, how did you make a living out here when you first got out here?
You know, I moved out there because I was in the show in Chicago, and one of the girls that played my character's younger person, her mom was the head writer for Young and the Restless. And so she got me set up there so I could get some extra work and some under five work, which was very, very cool. You know, Emma's journey is kind of in the book. It's very similar to mine in that she ends up getting this extra work. She's a little humiliated because, you know, she is a trained actor and that's all she can get and get connected with. So that all, like, her story from that aspect is mine. My favorite chapter is called The Dude, and Emma goes to this audition and she ends up doing a great job, and the director, who she doesn't know, it's this kind of strange oddball dude, he ends up saying, hey, you know, this is a modern interpretation of this Molière play. Would you mind taking off your top so that we can assess that as well?
Right.
And wow. That happened to me several times when
really?
I lived in
what?
L.A., just for a play. It was, and one guy actually asked if he could photograph it.
Really?
It was bizarre. And again, I think in my mind, like, they saw me as just sort of this naive transplant, like, hey, she doesn't know any, you know, any different.
Right.
But it was crazy. It happened to me on several occasions. I even had a guy come up to me when I was walking down the street and say that he was, you know, a legitimate photographer, had done, you know, photographs for, you know, Playboy and this, that, and the other thing, was wondering if I'd come over to his home and take pictures. Can you believe that?
But you know what? It must work for him if he does that. You know, maybe it does work. Maybe it does work with some women, my God, you know. But the thing is that, yeah, I know. I think many men in entertainment really have this sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
And,
I agree with you.
What did you do when they asked you to take off your top and photograph and... That's
the
insane.
Photograph guy, I was so nervous and flustered. Like, I literally was like, oh, no, thank you. And I ran away from him. The couple times it happened at the play auditions, I said no and I left.
Yeah.
I contemplated it. I did, because I was desperate. I was desperate to get in. I was desperate to... You know, I wanted to work,
right.
And I really missed working.
Yeah.
You know, and the extra work is not fulfilling, you know, at all. If you're a creative person and you love, you know, collaborating with people, it's kind of this in and out sort of job shop situation where you make a little bit of money. So, yeah, I mean, I think you do. It's hard to say no to those things. But I did. I turned my back and left.
It's something in LA, though. I mean, you either have to compromise your morals or stand strong for them and not let anyone walk all over you. Like, that's kind of what people do out here.
I think you're right, Charlotte. You know, and I always say, and that I would, for the right director, for the right piece, for the right reason, I would have no problem with being nude, you know, back when I was acting, you know, it wouldn't have bothered me at all. But the fact that these were like people I had no idea who they were, if they were reputable, you know, and the one guy that it was a modern interpretation of this, you know, Molière piece that he was asking me to take my top off. It was hilarious. Like,
yeah.
I was like, why in the world would anyone in this piece have to be naked?
Right.
You know? So,
yeah. And I'm sure they just wanted to get started with the nudity, the toplessness, and then move forward.
Yeah.
And so now, obviously, you know, women have, have these issues to deal with, and I think even some men, you know, have these issues, you know, in different situations. But so this is something to look out for. I wanted to ask you also. So you lived here for how long? For 3 years, did you say?
About 2 years. I left before 2 years.
I see. Okay, but you say here that staying for 3 years is the magic amount of time. Why is that?
You know, right at the time I gave up, I had started to make some connections. I had a little network of friends who were also in the business. You know, and I think anywhere you move, it takes at least 3 years. But especially in LA, if you move there and you know no one, you know, and you don't have an agent and you're not connected in the business, I think you need at least 3 years to start making connections. My one friend had a 5-year plan and he's still there, you know?
Yeah.
So I do, you know, I do think you need at least that to even, you know, scrape the surface of the entertainment business.
That's true. So you say to new actors and stuff, you know, hang in there and make things happen, you know. And that's the thing, though, is that you also discuss getting a side job and everything, because the thing is that you have to work, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm really disturbed by these people that call themselves actors and they just sit at home and wait for people to call them.
No, you can't. It's not. You will get trampled on. Absolutely have to, you know, pound the pavement diligently, and that does mean making connections. Even though I think a lot of actors are introverted, you know, you have to do it. You have to make those connections and put yourself out there. I call Emma in my book a camper. You know, she kind of sits not going forward or moving backwards. And in LA, you can't do that.
Right.
You always have to be, you know, on top of your game and moving forward, because I feel like you're a dime a dozen. There's so many beautiful people out there.
There you go.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that's bagging your groceries at Whole Foods is a supermodel. You know, I mean, so yeah, I do. I think you really have to be diligent and keep pursuing it, even if the doors are slammed in your face.
Definitely. What do you think the best side job is while you're in the entertainment industry?
It's cliche, but I think working in a restaurant, and preferably a high-profile restaurant. I worked in a little Italian restaurant in Brentwood that catered to celebrities and agents and producers. And I met so many people, you know, at that place, including Dustin Hoffman actually had a little office in the building. And he would come in for lunch or come in with his family. And he was just so nice to me. And I got my acting teacher from him because his daughter was studying with this woman, Martha Gaiman. So, you know, again, I think it's a great way without being, you don't have to put yourself out there that much to meet people and develop a rapport, and they like you and you like them, and there's a lot of people who are willing to help you out.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing, is that, you know, when you're exposed to different people and stuff, you make you put yourself out there, you know, and that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They say, I guess it was Woody Allen that said, you know, 80% of success is showing up, and you've got to be there, you know, and a lot of people are flaky. They don't take themselves seriously or their career. And like you said, I mean, I think the most important thing to remember is that there's hundreds of thousands of people trying to do the same thing you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, we get the most beautiful people from all over the world coming here. And you really have to stand out somehow, you know. And not by taking off your clothes for producers.
That's for sure.
Yeah, like I said, for the right producer, it wouldn't have been a problem. But gosh, for some strange, creepy guy, no way.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, Sarah Romine, the book is Ghostlight. I imagine you can get it on Amazon and other places as well. When did you release the book? Is it new?
Yes, it is. I released it in February.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's new. And it's actually, there's two others that I've written that are finished, but they're not published yet.
So oh, wow.
It's a series of three books, again, following Emma's journey through L.A. and you know, the path definitely that she takes is gets more and more interesting.
Yeah, that's quite a challenge to take on, you know, three books, a trilogy. And so how long does it take you to write all three books?
You know, the first one, Sam, I blew out so quickly. It was just one of those things, like I couldn't stop writing. And I sort of wrote into the second book. And I had my sister read it, which I was terrified because she's such a snob. but she read it and really enjoyed it and said, you know, but I think it should stop here. Uh-huh. And if you can keep writing, you should keep writing.
Right.
And so I did. And that's how the other, you know, the other two kind of happened. The third one's not completely finished. It has some problems in my mind that I need to fix, but the second one's pretty complete. I mean, and pretty much edited at this point.
Sounds cool.
Great.
Yeah. So I see here on your website, your sister's Leah.
Yes.
And
Leah.
And so you guys are doing the website together, and that's pretty cool. What does Mod City Mom stands for? What's Mod City?
You know, that's very hilarious you should ask that. We both lived in the city. She lived in Chicago for 20 years, me 17. And I'm like, you know, we're such urban people, you know, we should do this. It would be like Mod City Mom. It would be like cool hipster things that maybe people don't think of. And then our recipes and, you know, what we cook at home.
Right.
And so she's like, great, great, great. Well, now she lives in the suburbs in SoCal, and I live in the suburbs of St. Louis. So we crack up about it. We used to be Mod City Moms.
Yeah.
Is it Mod for
maybe
Modern?
We should change it to Sassy Suburban Sisters or something, but that's where it came from.
Is it Mod for Modern?
Yes, for Modern. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Sarah Romine, everybody go get the book. The website, again, is modcitymom.com. Sarah, you've been a lot of fun, and definitely we get some ideas about, you know, for people who come to this town to see. But apparently it's not for everyone, and you decided to grow your family away from L.A., which is actually not a bad idea.
Well, you know, I contemplate all the time, like, gosh, now that I'm not in the business or trying to be an actor in the business, like, I wouldn't mind living there, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
So it is kind of funny now that I've been gone for a while, because it's just such a beautiful place to live. And there really are, there's so many great people. It's a amazing city.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we say all the time. You know, people give the city a bad rap, but the thing is that there's almost 4 million people here, and you know some of them are great people. I know.
Yeah.
I meet a lot of them. So absolutely, I agree. And well, we hope to see you back in L.A. sometime, you know, maybe when
Thank
your
you
kids
so
grow
much.
Up a little bit. Sure. And again, congratulations on the book. We invite you to come back on the show when the next one comes out. So
Great.
Let us know about it. Okay, Sarah?
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Of course. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. I like when people write books, you know. And you got a blog also, right?
Yeah.
I think it's such a great way, such a great outlet for people that like to write and express themselves,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So why don't you promote yours so people can go and check it out? What's it called?
It's on my website, charlottebroadbenttv.com. It's also roadtomakingit.com. And it's a blog about motivating and being inspired to be a better person and be a better you and be happy.
Yeah.
And yeah, just
so is that like from your experience and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess so. And just it's kind of,
I mean, you have to be qualified to give advice and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. No, you do. And just to be, because yeah, it's taken a lot to, I mean, I've been through a lot to be happy with who I am and it moving at 17, like, started that to
right.
really be happy with who I am. I have so many friends that aren't truly happy with who they are.
Yeah.
But want somebody to love them. But until you love yourself, you can't be happy. You'll never find somebody to truly love you.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So
what's the URL?
It's charlottebroadbenttv.com.
Okay, but the road to making it?
But roadtomakingup.com as well.
So it's road.
It's, yeah, road.
Not the road.
No,
okay.
It's just road.
Right, because I tried that, but it didn't go. Yeah, but it's not going there. Oh, there it is. Okay, I think. Yeah, okay, there it is. Okay, it's coming up a little slow, maybe our connection here. But Road to Making It with Charlotte Broadband. There you go. Broadband, I'm sorry. Broadband.
So everyone does that. Everyone says Charlotte Broadband.
Yeah, because it's such a widely used word, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. So now I see you wrote about independence, like, for example. What did you write there? What is it about?
Because coming up to Independence Day tomorrow, and it's about being an independent person and not relying on someone else and relying on other people for you to be happy.
Right.
You have to take it into your own hands to be happy and be independent. Right. And it's just four tips on how to be independent.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And this comes from your experience. I mean, obviously, you came here pretty young.
Yeah, exactly.
And pretty independent and stuff, so.
Yeah, and it's things like you have to have a job and you have to make money, and that's part of being independent. If you sit at home and do nothing and rely on your parents or what. And yeah, it's aimed at probably my age.
Right.
But
that's okay. You're most qualified for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I haven't written a blog in, it's probably been a good month or so.
Really?
So it was nice to get back. And it has, and it's also, it's not only a blog website, but it's a portfolio. It has photos, my reel, episodes that I've done. So it there's a lot on the website.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
RoadToMakingIt.com, folks. That's where the blog is. And also CharlotteBroadband.tv?
CharlotteBroadbandTV.com.
They're
both linked in together.
Right.
So it's the same website, but you can go to either URL and it'll take you
sounds
there.
Good.
Yeah.
And you write very well. Obviously, you want to be able to be a writer to write blogs, you know?
Exactly. And and that's what I graduated in college. And I've always had a passion for writing, and it's just something else that I enjoy doing. And maybe one day I'll have enough experiences to write a book.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't know if I have enough patience.
I think you will. You'll have, you know, a few books in you. And if not that, you can write articles for magazines, for websites,
that's what
things you know.
That's the kind of thing that I'd like to do.
Right. But you can always write a book too, you know what I mean? And the nice thing is with Kindle today, you don't have to invest a lot of money.
Exactly.
You know, with ebooks. And you can also write shorter books if you don't have a whole book in you or a long one. I mean, some of these people have three books in them in a row, you know?
I know.
It's amazing to me.
And when you really sit down and think what you've done and what you've accomplished, you probably can. I mean, Sam, you could write 10 books.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, really.
On everything you've done. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But as far as fiction and stuff, I don't know how I would do there, you know.
Right.
I don't know if I'm a great storyteller. And I also can't undertake such like long-term projects, you know. With me, it's like short-term. I want a radio station, bam, bam. 2 days later, I have a radio station, you know?
Exactly. There's not many people that can do that. That's why you need to write a book about it.
I guess. Okay. It's funny when we do things, we don't realize they're outstanding or something else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then people tell you, and it's a pretty good feeling, you
know? Yeah, definitely. I mean, so many people out there want a radio station and would love to do something, but they just don't know how. And
you gotta have the drive and the vision also. So, and that's the thing, you know, find what you're strong at, you know, because sometimes I might be down on myself saying, well, why can't you undertake long-term projects and things like this and stick to the end? But then I say, well, you know, that's not my strong side. My strong side is short distance, you know, and sprinting more than a marathon. So that's what I should embrace and just do that.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
So you also say a person should be alone for a while. Why is that?
I think you need to take the time to really understand who you are.
Right.
And learn who you are. And
you think a lot of people sort of like mask having to do that by just surrounding themselves with people all the time?
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
And whether they go from, whether it's something like they go from boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend and only have like a week apart from each. Firstly, I don't know how people do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But to be able, I mean, just to be able to get someone to date you for so long and then as soon as you stop dating someone, date someone else.
Right.
Like, how do you do that? but yeah, just with friends too. And but you need time. And I know a lot of people, the cons, they go, if they're by themselves for a couple hours, they go crazy.
Yeah.
They have to be around people. They have to be talking to people.
Right.
Whereas I'm the complete opposite. I can spend days by myself.
Right.
And I'm totally fine.
Me too.
So I think you have to learn how to do that.
Right. And I think it happens. I mean, we were sort of like thrust into the circumstances by moving to another country on our own.
Mm-hmm.
But I think many times, even when you have your family and your friends around you, you need to find yourself, I think.
Exactly. You,
you
do.
Need to find
and you
your
have
inner
to know
peace
who you are and
right.
just be, get to know yourself.
Right. And I think some people don't understand that, especially the people that are always late for shows here, you know? It's like, you know, be in touch with yourself, know who you are, be able to respect other people by respecting yourself. And
exactly.
That's the thing, is that when people don't show respect, the first and foremost, they're not showing respect for themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's pretty pathetic, I think. You know, if you can't respect yourself enough to be somewhere on time or to just have a good, build a good reputation for yourself.
Exactly.
Some people don't have that consciousness
because
even.
Because they don't care what other people think because they
right.
don't really care themselves. And that's
probably.
What I mean, where you have to learn who you are, and you do that by spending time alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I feel I'm interviewing you now for, as a writer on the show. And then you say, be determined, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you want to be, you don't want to give up. Mm-hmm. And then be you, you know. Don't let people change who you are. If
yeah.
you don't agree or don't want to do something, don't do it. Have the willpower and courage to stay true to yourself and not let anyone tear you down.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with what Sarah was saying. I mean,
yeah.
Like when they said take your top off, you don't want to change your morals and
right.
do something that you don't want to do just because someone's telling you to do that for a job.
Right,
like,
exactly.
No, if you don't believe that's what you should do, then have the willpower to say no
right.
and realize that there's something a lot better out there.
Yeah, definitely. But you got to be yourself because it's hard not to.
Yeah.
You know, when you try to be somebody else, it's pretty
yeah.
hard. I know that my son, you know, trying to find himself now at 21 and everything, he constantly changes himself to try and adjust himself to what the girls are looking for
yeah.
or what he thinks the girls are looking
mm-hmm.
for. And so he'll like, you know, he'll do this, he'll do that, he'll do this, he'll do that. I said, you're not being yourself. You're just being what they expect to be or what you think they want you to
right.
be. And you're never going to be happy because you're never going to please anybody.
Exactly. Again, that's something else. You won't please everyone in life. You
right.
never will.
Right.
Someone's always going to be mad at you, not like what you're doing. You know, no
yeah.
one's ever going to like every single thing you do.
Yeah, you know. And just by statistics and probability, when you think about it, a person has a 50% chance of liking you. Either they do or they don't, right? So out of the gate, already half of the world doesn't like you,
exactly.
you know? So you got to be prepared for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for today and for this week, actually. I'm looking forward also to sleeping in a little bit.
Yes, a nice
yeah.
long weekend.
Yeah, I try not to talk about the sleep anymore since somebody made me self-conscious of it. But I will tell you that I'm still not sleeping a lot because...
Well, it was funny because I was going to ask. You haven't said
yeah.
anything all week about it. Have you
I know.
Been sleeping better?
No, not at all. I mean,
oh,
look,
no.
I sleep very well.
Just
yeah,
not a lot of it.
Not a lot of it,
yeah.
yeah. I just keep myself up too long. And then,
yeah.
but because I think what it is, I've allowed myself to stay up till 3.
Right.
You know, and I gotta put a limit to it and say, okay, 1 o'clock, 1:30, that's it.
Yeah.
No later.
You need a switch in your brain. Just
right.
Switch it off.
But that's the thing. It's just one, right like at 1:30 when I get ready to go to bed. Then I find out new things and I start doing this research and that research and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't stop. It doesn't ever stop. But I'm glad, as you can see, I'm still coming in here awake
yep.
and energetic and everything. And that's all that matters.
Definitely.
All right. Well, Charlotte, have a great weekend.
Have a fantastic weekend. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Happy 4th. Enjoy your fireworks and your barbecue and everything. And we'll see everybody on Monday.
Definitely.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.